What's up, guys? Welcome back to Coaches Don't Play. Today we have Gervine back on the podcast.
I'm back.
She's back after birthing a child, which is the scariest story of them all. Chutney's Indian Grill, Canada's first fast casual Indian restaurant. They're always supporting the podcast. We're always supporting them. They're differently Indian, and so are we. They're the Chipotle of Indian food. Fast, fresh, and healthy. They got something for everyone. Meat, veggie, vegan, and gluten-free options. You walk in, build your own burroti or your bowls. Choose your protein, topping, sauces, and chutneys. Check out their location in South Surrey at Grandview Central. And make sure you mention the podcast, because if you do, they're going to give you a discount. Make sure you follow them on Instagram as well, at Chutney's Indian Grill. They have a new location opening up in Abbotsford in early 2022. Chutney's is growing and they're franchising now. They have two new locations also opening up this coming year in Langley and Kelowna. Chutney's for everybody, baby. So make sure you guys check them out and visit www.eatchutneys.com to learn more and find out how you can become a part of the Chutney's team.
I was going to say that.
What?
That was going to be my scary story.
Oh.
If you were going to be like, oh, Green, tell us a scary story. Like, two times I gave birth to humans.
Oh, God. I don't want to hear that story.
And it was very scary.
It was very scary.
But I survived. Or did I?
Oh, God. Green is a ghost. I will get into your birth story. Ugh, I fucking hate that word. Your birth story.
Tell us your birthing experience.
Your birthing experience. Was it the most beautiful, miraculous thing you've ever experienced in your life? Ew.
Call it. It is. Okay, like, I admit, yeah, fine. It's a beautiful thing in the sense that you bring a life into the world, but, like, the process is anything but.
Yeah, like, it's cool. You get, like, a cute-ass baby at the end of it, but, like.
But the moments leading up to that, oh, my God. Definitely out of a scary movie.
I don't know. I want to. Did you hear about the? I don't know if we should talk about that Paramesh Verma Sherry Mon situation, because everyone was like, most. I got like 100 DMs about this. Yeah, I'm not even kidding you. Like, I counted. I think it was like 97 DMs specifically about this one thing. Okay, which is a lot of fucking DMs.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are that interested,
bro. It's entertainment news. But okay. So for those of you who don't know, but you probably know, but Paramesh Verma, Mr. Paramesh Verma, Punjabi singer, Kaligar. Is that how you say it? Kaligar?
Kalakar.
Oh, Kalakar, yeah.
I was like, that sounds kind of right.
Kaligar? Kaligar? Kaligar?
Kalakar.
He just got married in Surrey to his girl. Congos to them. Okay. Twitter was a light the night of their engagement. I'm assuming that was what it was.
Just as their Ferris
wheel. Just as their Ferris wheel was. So they had a Ferris wheel at their house.
Yeah.
For one of the events, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, people are like, wow.
Yeah. Obvi.
Right? And here's my thing. I had a few people reach out to me that were like, oh, people are just haters. People are just haters. This and that. You know, they're just, you know, trying to do... Is there a wedding? Which, yeah, 100%. It's your wedding. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
you can have fucking flying elephants. I don't give a fuck, okay? But it's like, if you have a Ferris wheel at your wedding, you have to expect that people are going to talk. Like, we literally can't even walk down the street and without people talking around, like, this season. So, like, how... You fully booked that Ferris wheel knowing that people are going to talk. But you don't like what people are saying, so you're mad about it. Like, that to me, I'm just like, bro, like, you can't control what people are going to say. But I don't think anyone was actually, like, hating.
No, it's just, it's a cool thing.
It's just, like, an entertainment thing.
Yeah.
It's just, like, oh, look at a Ferris wheel.
The people that got to go on the Ferris wheel were entertained. The people that saw pictures of it afterwards, we were entertained.
We were entertained, too. Like, it was just, it's just entertainment news. And if you're in the spotlight like that.
At the end of the day, this is, like, a celebrity.
Yeah, exactly. Married. And that's the other thing.
If it was, like, two regular people and then they had a Ferris wheel, okay, fine, yeah, whatever. People talk about it for, like, 1 second and then...
Yeah, but this was a whatever.
There's a double whammy here. And then a triple once you throw Sherry Mon
in there, which was, like, the icing on the fucking cake, bro. So, whatever. You have this Ferris wheel, whatever. Cool. Awesome. Good for you, man. You ripped it. But here's the thing that no one is fucking talking about is what a fucking G move that Ferris wheel was for Pramesh Verma, okay?
Yeah.
Because, okay, it's one thing if Desis are talking about it and it's all over Desi WhatsApp and Desi Twitter or whatever and shit like that on Instagram meme pages and shit, right? But the fact that global news, CTV, all these mainstream media outlets were saying this guy's name.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, this is what I said a few podcasts ago. No publicity is bad publicity.
Yeah.
Because even though people were hella like, ooh, you had a Ferris wheel.
They're going to be fined. Yeah, they didn't get a permit. But.
Bro, what mainstream Punjabi artist do you know that's had his name blasted on? Like, I don't see them saying, like, fucking, Sukshan Darshanda, how to fucking go at his house, or whatever it is. Like, you know? Dude, like, it's a smart PR move. Maybe they didn't, like, mean for that to happen.
Yeah.
And, but whatever, at the end of the day.
I don't know about that.
You think it was a PR move?
I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. I think everything's a PR move. I think everything is planned. Even that video of him, like, you know, when he's, like, looking, he's like,
whoa.
I'm like, I don't know, looks a little teensy bit staged.
but whatever, the point is it worked. And you know what? No publicity is bad publicity at the end of the day, even if you think at that time that it is, because at the end of the day, people are talking about you.
Yeah.
And anyway, so then that Sherry Mon thing happens, right? So Sherry Mon gets on Instagram. I don't know if it was live or stories.
Anywhere I've read it, it says that he was like live.
Someone probably recorded it and posted like the clips of it, right? So Sherry, okay, so this is what I know, okay? And also, all this stuff is allegedly, you guys, okay? Just want to preface this.
Allegedly, he was on Instagram Live, and it's on certain pages. You can go find it.
And apparently, I'm like the fucking dizzy DMZ now. So I need to preface all of this shit.
Does allegedly. TMZ do that? Do they say allegedly a lot,
They don't
too?
Say allegedly. They say sources say or shit like that.
Okay. But they actually have to have valid sources.
Oh, 100%. Dude, they have, TMZ has shit in their vault that they haven't released because they have deals and shit, or they're waiting for things to happen before. But when TMZ leaks a story, you know it's legit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I believe TMZ over fucking MSNBC any day of the fucking week.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that when you were trying to convince me that Kylie was pregnant the first time.
100%. Yeah. When TMZ leaks something, it's legit, dude. And they know and call these, like, celebs all the time. Like, yo, I know this happened. Like, I'm about to release it tonight.
Yeah.
FYI. Like, they know what's up.
Yeah.
Sherry Mon goes on Instagram Live. He just finished attending Pramesh Verma's wedding, okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, like engagement. His pre-events, whatever, engagement, okay? This guy is distraught. Visibly distraught.
Drunk and distraught. D&D.
Yeah. Drunk and distraught.
Wait, allegedly he was drunk?
allegedly he was drunk. He's on Instagram, allegedly drunk, and he's saying things like, tu apne aapnu Drake, like, something like, you think you're Drake or something. I'm your dad. He's like, matra peoa. And he's like saying all this shit.
It's so funny because when you say it in English, it's just like, what?
Yeah.
I'm your dad.
I'm your dad. And I should be treated like your dad. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, but it sounds so funny in English. But in Punjabi, it's like, oh, man.
It's such an insult. Like,
how dare you?
Wow. Okay, so he was saying all this shit, like, that he went to the engagement and Pramesh Verma and his family didn't greet him or something like that. Yeah. Or, like, I find kind of a little bit hard to believe.
He probably just didn't get the overall.
He probably didn't get the red carpet that he was expecting. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't. Or maybe, like, the main family didn't approach him, like his parents were. But you're fucking busy, man.
Yeah,
like,
maybe they were on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, they're doing hoote mate, bro.
Chute mate.
Or chute mate. On the fucking Ferris wheel. Anyway, so then he was, like, upset that, like, he wasn't greeted properly, okay?
Yeah, it was classic, like, fuffer behavior.
Yeah, like, so upset. Like, and every wedding, there's that one uncle that's like, "Sanduni pacha, asiyote gaysi or chajna sasri kaani." But I don't know. That's literally what he was doing. Okay, but who knows what actually happened? Okay.
Yeah.
Then he's losing his shit because I guess at the engagement they made everyone check in their phones.
Yeah.
Okay. So two things here.
Or like all of the events.
Yeah. All the events.
Had to either just don't bring your phone
or like check it in.
Yeah.
Okay, two things here, okay? Cool, it's your wedding. Do whatever the fuck you want, okay? You want to control what comes in and out of your, like, wedding picture video-wise? Probably a smart-ass move, okay? Second of all, unless you're selling your pictures to People Magazine, like, I don't know what's so great about your fucking wedding. You need to, like, control the pictures. Like,
I gotta agree with Sherry by you on this.
Yeah. Like, okay, whatever. Whatever. Okay. Maybe, because there actually was a, because it is like a celeb wedding, quote, people are probably gonna talk. They're probably just to decrease the amount of, like, shit people are gonna make up.
Yeah.
We'll just control what comes, which is smart, actually, on their part. Some people should have actually done that for their actual COVID weddings where they're breaking all the rules. Okay, whatever. Who cares? You go to an event. If everyone else is checking in their phone, fucking check in your phone, okay?
Yeah.
Don't cry about it. Then he's saying shit like, "Horn lala mera phone. Horn far mera phone."
Oh, he said that?
Yeah, like, you left the party. Why would they want your phone now? Like, what? So lost. Then he goes on to say, Pramesh Varma and his family didn't greet him properly at the event. And then apparently Pramesh Varma came up to him and asked him to sing a song. And then he's like, basically saying, like, they think I'm like some, like, Gornwala, like, I'm here to, like, sing or whatever. And then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, but you is. Then I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, this is like, to me, this is like another classic this-y behavior thing where it's like they look down on certain things.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, you are a singer. That's literally what you do. That's your job, right? Some people are like, oh, he wasn't getting paid. But it's like, but if they offered to pay and asked him to sing, he would have fucking lost his shit again.
Yeah.
Like,
you just can't win in these situations.
It's almost like there are certain things that in our culture, they just look down upon. Like, for example, being a makeup artist, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, being, like, a singer. Or doing any type of service to somebody else is, like, looked down upon. And you're just reiterating that narrative by being offended that they asked you to perform a song. Here's what I think happened. I think Pramesh Varma or someone in their family approached him. Be like, please buy, like, ik gana, like, sardi firmasha, ik gana. Like, they're probably, like, you know, like, he'll, like, as, like, a bro or whatever, right? And this guy is probably already pissed at his phone's on his hand.
Yeah.
And he's, like, now he's had a couple of fucking drinks.
Yeah.
And he's upset now that they're like, oh, I'm going to go on wala samj there, blah, 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 right?
I think he came in with certain expectations.
Yeah.
And this is why everybody needs to manage their expectations in general.
Oh, this is why I say everyone thinks that they're the exception to the rules.
Yeah.
You're not, bro.
Yeah.
Stop thinking you're the fucking exception. Sherry Mon, perfect example right here.
Yeah. And this is also, like, there's so many factors. This is of Punjabi celebrity's wedding in Canada.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen very often or ever at all. And so there's major differences in overall, like, your the seva that you're going to get at a Canadian wedding. It's just, you don't have, you know, all these people running around doing everything for you. Like, sometimes you have to do a lot of things yourself at these weddings.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's different. People aren't as, like, you know, billy.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And they're not going to be like, shoddy man.
And in India in general, it's always like, oh, always just look out for who's coming and make sure that they feel special. It's really just about making sure that all your fufurs and musters and, like, the VIPs are
proper,
you know,
taken care of.
Yeah, that's everyone's goal. Whereas here, people's goal is, like, to have fun.
Yeah.
He should have still not had his phone in his hand.
At that moment.
At that moment. Yeah. Like, that's what screwed him over. Because now he's the bad guy.
I think it's, like, split. I honestly think 50% of people, like, back him.
What?
Yeah, because a lot of people are saying, like, well, he's a guest. I would be offended, too, if I was invited as a guest and someone asked me to sing. But I honestly don't think that's what happened. I don't think it was, like, approached as, like, tusi garna la garna. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. As far as, like, yo, bro, like, like,
and this is like another celebrity. He, Pramesh Varma, like, sings as well. Yeah. So shouldn't you feel, like, honored that another, like, celebrity is asking you
and
to sing?
And that's the point
wedding?
I made as well. When I was talking about on the live, I said, we're makeup artists we've been invited to weddings and been the makeup artists as well, right?
Yeah.
But some people are like, well, that's agreed upon prior to and you're paid and blah, 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 right? But I think that if Pramesh Varma approached Sherry Mon prior to the wedding and said, we'll pay you, he would have been even more offended.
Yeah.
No, but he would have been like, so they're not going to invite me to the wedding. They're going to treat me like a singer. Like I'm some, the help. This is what I'm saying. Like, this is what Dissies do.
Yeah.
Like they're never going to be happy, man. Whatever. At the end of the day, it's content for me. So I ultimately don't give a fuck. Okay.
There's content for a lot of people. Yeah.
Oh my God. Someone messaged me. They're like, let them live about the Ferris wheel thing. Cause I was like, oh, we'll deep dive into it. And I hadn't even said anything at that point. Yeah. Like no one knew my actual opinion about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, ain't nobody safe when Coach P on the streets, baby.
So if you have a Ferris wheel, you're not safe from anyone.
From anyone. Okay. Yeah. When you have a
Ferris wheel. Try to have something a little bit more discreet.
Yeah. If you or something you couldn't see over the fence. Okay. If you really want to know when to talk.
They don't have to send out an aerial view helicopter.
Yeah,
to see
or it fucking to merry-go-round. Yeah, the fact that Global TV was flying a fucking chopper up there gives me every right to talk shit, okay? When the Gore are talking about it, then you why would you not expect us to talk about it, bro? We out here, fam. Asikate? Oh my God. Okay, I just want to touch base on that because it's been like 2 weeks since it happened and I needed to address it. I hate when like something happens right after I record an episode because then I have to wait like 7 days.
People, can you figure out your timing?
Yeah.
Based on Thursday releases.
Figure out your fucking scandals, bro. I'm on a schedule.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Can they happen on a Monday or Tuesday?
Still fresh? Sunday to Monday would be ideal. If you guys could just do your kartuta on those days so that I could talk shit about it after.
At those intervals?
Yeah. Jesus, bro. So it's Halloween. It's funny because last year's episode was called Scandals and Ghost Stories.
Oh,
and this is
God.
Also kind of a scandal that happened.
Really?
And now it's Ghost Stories.
Damn.
Yeah, because last year's Halloween episode we were talking about Sohal's wedding, all the shit people were talking about her wedding. Remember Blue Rose Archie's wedding?
Yeah.
And now this is Pramesh Verma's wedding.
Oh,
plus
bale.
Ghost Stories. This week is cursed, y'all.
Yeah,
this week is cursed.
Don't get married around this time.
We're gonna hop into the Ghost Stories. Fresh Canvas Spa and Laser Center, BC's best reviewed medical spas for laser, hydrofacials, and more. With locations in Surrey and Metrotown Burnaby. Check out their monthly promos on Oxy Geno Superfacials, Hydrofacials, and Laser Hair Removal Packages. Full face, Brazilian, aka Brazilian, and underarms are all buy five, get one free. Also, our friends at Fresh Canvas want to give you all 15% off all services, including their $350 full body laser and 15% off all skincare. What the hell's wrong with me? Skincare. Shop online for brands like Zoe Skin Health, IS Clinical, or Eminence with code COACHES at checkout. Visit www.freshskinshop.com. They deliver anywhere in Canada. Go visit them and experience the difference with Fresh Canvas. And make sure you mention the podcast when you get there so you get your discount, baby. Thank you so much to Fresh Canvas for supporting the pod.
I remember last year, whatever sound effects you put in, my sisters were messaging me. They're like, I'm just so scared of the sound effects. I can't even listen to the story.
It's literally all the sound effects. Yeah. And it's so funny because when I was editing it that year,
yeah,
I was like, I thought of it like a while I was editing. So it was totally last minute.
Oh,
but
really?
It changed the whole vibe of the whole episode.
Yeah.
And so many people have been asking me this year about it.
To put in sound effects?
No, to be like, are you going to do Halloween? Are you going to do Ghost? Are you going to do Halloween? I'm like, yo, relax. Like, let me fucking find a putandian story. Yesterday, I was acting crazy.
What?
I was like calling my mom. I was like, mom, through putandian story, pata? She's like, minu keriya putandian story. Mom, minu phone kar. And I pick up my phone and call my pummy mommy. I'm like, pummy mommy, through putandian story. She's like, sanugi putandian story. I was like, fuck. And then I call my mom back and she's like, Pishore Paji nu poch. And then I call my Pishore Paji. I'm like, Paji, putandian story, pata? I got one Punjabi kind of desi kind of putandi story. Okay, so let's get into it. This is a true story, by the way. This is a story about a bend in India called Bai Bhakta. So in this bend, apparently, like, years ago, there was this man named Bai Bhakta. He was known for, like, being able to control ghosts or be able to communicate with them and stuff like that. So one day, there's this guy, Ramu Singh or something, I forgot his name. His daughter got really sick, like she was cursed or something, because he thought she was possessed. So he took his daughter to Bai Bhakta and he's like, take this jinn or this ghost out of my daughter. So he did it. And he's like, how can I repay you? Like, I want to, like, you know, like, I'm grateful. And Bai Bhakta was like, we need to build a well, like a kuh, a well in this bend. And I need the bricks and all, like, the supplies and stuff like that. And I need it from Lahore, which is where this guy was from, right? And he's like, okay, I'll get you all the supplies. But they couldn't transport it. There was no, like, way of transporting these items. So apparently this is true. Bai Bhakta got his spirits to transport all the supplies from Lahore to Bhatinda. I don't know how it was done.
I don't know the logistics.
There was a ghost driving the truck. All the supplies get to, like, the bend, right? And there's this one area where they're supposed to build this coup. And Bai Bhakta was like, the spirits are going to build it overnight, one night. But nobody in the bend is allowed to do any work until the sun comes up. Any type of work. Like, that's the agreement that I have with the, like, with the spirits, right? So everyone's like, okay. So everyone goes to bed or whatever. The well gets built, okay? But then they're working on the moon, which is like the outer part, the part of the well that you can see that's out, like, above the ground. That part's left, right? Some BB wakes up in the bend and starts making lassi. Of course, BB Newton Janney. She wakes up and starts making lassi, and the goal stop. And construction on the well stops. Until this day, you can go to Bai Bhakta in Bhatinda in the bend and see the unfinished well. And apparently it's one of the most haunted places in Punjab.
Oh my god.
We have another story from a listener. This is a story that happened to a close friend of hers. And they live in Surrey. And they had a basement suite that was rented out to, like, this mom and daughter that were white. Every now and again, the mom landlord would go down to check up, to do like a check or whatever. And she goes into the 16-year-old daughter's room. She sees her worshiping the devil inside the room. And she has like an upside down cross in her room, which is like, you know, standard devil worship protocol.
It is?
So this lady, the auntie, gets like freaked out and tells them to move out, like, get out of my house. And then a little while later, they decide to open up a daycare downstairs in the basement. She goes, this is where it gets creepy. So the kids take a nap in that girl's room. She's like, that's where they would nap every day. And one day the friend's mom was washing the dishes, and in the baby monitor you can hear the kids talking. And her mom figured one of them woke up, so she asked my friend to go downstairs to put the kid back to sleep. She goes, as my friend is walking down the stairs, she can hear the kid talking and giggling. And as she enters the room, all the kids are sleeping. Not a single one is up. And she gets freaked out, runs upstairs, like, so fast, slams the door. And then she was saying that randomly in the daycare, like, you would walk around in the basement suite and you could just feel, like, cold spots. And then they decided to do a bot downstairs while she was in the basement. You know those little bot, like, radios? Those would be going 24/7. But when the mom would go back upstairs, it would stop playing on its own. Okay, so this one I found on Reddit, so... So this guy submitted this, like, story about him and his, like, girlfriend. This guy's talking about how he met this girl, and he's like, I thought it was like the perfect girl for me, and our relationship moved really fast, and I ended up like moving in with her. He's like, one of the nights I was just like laying in bed next to her, she's sleeping, and I was reading on my phone, and she rolls over. And she looks me dead in the eye. She doesn't say anything. She just looks at me. And he goes, hi. And she goes, ask me a question. And he's like, I laughed, thinking that was just like a cute little like exchange or whatever. And then she like grabs his arm, like squeezes his arm like really tight. And he goes, hey, like that hurts, like let go. And then she didn't say anything. She like kept like grabbing his arm. And he's like, okay, do you like sleeping together? And she's like, yes. And she closed her eyes, turns around, goes back to sleep. And he was like, it was so random. He's like, and I brought it up the next day. And she's like, I don't remember that at all. And then they kind of like laughed it out, off or whatever. And then the next night, it happens again. This time he's asleep. She turns around and she's like, ask me a question. And he's like, do I have to? And she goes, yes. When he says, do I have to? She says, yes. And then he goes, are you just fucking around with me? And she goes, only one question per night. Closes her eyes, turns back around. And she has no recollection of this when he's like bringing it up to her. She has no idea what he's talking about, right? He gets scared at this point. But then a week or two goes by, nothing really happens. And like she rolls over, asks him questions. He just randomly asks like, did you like the restaurant that we went to today? She's like, yes. And he would just ask like innocent questions like that. But this was happening for 2 weeks every single night, and it was happening around like 3:30 a.m. So he would like get, like his sleep would get interrupted, and he was getting really tired because he would get freaked out and then not be able to sleep, and his mind would be racing and stuff, right? So one night she does it again, turns around, and he goes, not tonight, go back to sleep. And she goes, you have to ask a question. And he goes, fine, when will I die? And she goes, after me. Closes her eyes, turns back around. And then he gets pissed and he goes, what did you say? And she goes, one question. And he goes, no, not tonight. He's like, I grabbed her. He's like, I grabbed her like aggressively and was like trying to like wake her up or whatever. And then he's like, why are you doing this to me? Like, he's like getting so frustrated. And he's like, and she like pushed me off. He's like, I fell off the bed. And he's like, and then she just turned around and went right back to sleep. Like, I bring it up the next day. She has like no idea. She's like, what? Like, I don't like, and he's just like losing his mind. He's like, I don't know what to do at this point, right? He's like, it's been a few weeks now, I haven't been able to sleep. He's like, so I decided to go back to my place and sleep there, and I'll get like a good night's sleep or whatever, right? He's sleeping, he gets waken up because a text message goes off at 3:30 a.m. and it's her, and she's like, ask me a question. He like put it away. 5 minutes go by again. His phone starts ringing this time. And she's on the phone and she's like, ask me a question. And he turns his phone off, goes back to sleep. 15 minutes go by, he hears a knock on the door. And he's like, I just knew inside that it was her. He gets out of bed, he looks in the peephole, and it's her. And she's standing there. And he didn't open the door, but he just like yelled through the door. He's like, how do I make this stop? And she's like, you can't. And she just turns around and goes home. And then he's like, hey, there's obviously no way I can avoid this. So he goes back. This time he's asking her like specific questions every night. Why can I stop this? And she said it was inevitable. Then the next night he goes, have you done this to anyone else? And she goes, no. And then he's like, do you want to hurt me? She goes, no. He's like, can you lie? And she said, no. One night he asked her like, what is the number of days exactly that we will be in a romantic relationship after today? And she says 112 nights. The next day he goes, what is the reason our romantic relationship ends? And she goes, I die. And then he's like, what will cause your death? She said starvation. Then he goes, where will you die? And she says nearby. Then he goes, can I keep you from dying? She says yes. And he goes, so the future can be changed. And she said, yes. And then he goes, how can I stop you from dying? And she says, don't kill me.
What? Pam! Stop it! Say something!
This goes on for months. This guy can't sleep. He's sleep deprived at this point. he's like, I'm getting to the point where like I can't like take this anymore, like I don't know what to do, I can't sleep, I'm like, I can't think, I'm petrified, I'm terrified, right? So he asked her like one night, like, if I wanted to kill you, where would I hide your body? He asked her this one night, and she goes, a hatch near your campsite. So a few days he thinks about it, and he plans out this whole thing. He's gonna take her to the campsite, and he takes her there. He takes her there. She wakes up. He asks her, like, will she know that I loved her? And then she goes, yes. Because at this point, he's figured out it's not my girlfriend who's, like, in her. It's something else. That was the confirmation that he needed. He picked her up and put her in the hutch and locked the door from the outside. Do you know the story about the Banff Springs Hotel? So people say that it's haunted, right? And Banff Springs Hotel denies it. Right? Yeah, like the Fairmont. They deny to the ends of the earth that anything is haunted there. But they do play into this story a little bit of this like bride. This dates back to like the 1920s. Apparently there was like a wedding that was happening there. Young couple, right? They're supposed to get married in this room that they have there called the Cascade Room. It's like one of the bigger ballrooms. And there's this staircase that goes down. And apparently, according to Banff Springs Hotel, there was a bride who was walking down those stairs about to make her entrance into the ballroom, and she slipped on the hem of her dress and she fell down those stairs and like broke her like neck and she died. People who've like been guests there and like staff who has worked there has sworn that they've seen her walking down those staircases. Or people would hear like music, or they'll see her dancing by herself in the ballroom. So there's one room at the Fairmont Banff Springs, and you can, if you guys don't believe, you guys can go there and see it for yourself. There's this one hallway, right? And people swear that they're like that a man murdered his wife and daughter in that room and then killed himself. And it was room 873. People swear that they've like slept there, they've heard screams, and it's like they think it's like so haunted. And when you walk by now, it goes 872, nothing, 874. The Banff, they sealed off that room. The number skips, and then when you look, it's covered with like wallpaper. You can see like the crevices of where the door was. So when you walk by, you can see it's covered with like, it's clear as day that the door has been like covered. Okay, so I was reading this other thing on like Reddit, right? There's this guy who has like a long thread. He's a search and rescue officer, and he talks about some of his most creepiest experiences of search and rescue missions out in the forest, in like national parks, right? He's like, one of the things that he's like, I can't explain, but it's like very common in every search and rescue unit and not a lot of people talk about. He's like, it's just kind of like there, no one really says anything about it, but like he's like, on just about every case where we go really far into the wilderness, he goes, I'm talking 30 to 40 miles, at some point we'll find a staircase in the middle of the woods perfectly intact. He's like, it's almost like you took the stairs out of your house and just place them in like the forest. He's like, it doesn't lead to anything. There's no clip, nothing. And it's just there in the middle of the forest, like 30, 40 miles out deep where like people don't go. And he's like, one time I asked about it when I saw it for the first time, and the other officer just told me like, don't worry about it. That's normal. But don't ever touch them, go around them, or go on them. They're like, but you're going to see it all the time. You'll see it a lot. And then I started researching this like thing. And apparently, it's extremely common and people cannot explain. Yeah, like if you go really deep into like some of these like forest national parks, and it's all over the world. Philippines, Germany, Switzerland, like people report this stuff all over the world where there's random staircases that look like just no one has even touched them. They're just like sitting there in the middle of nowhere and they lead to nothing. And they're just there and no one can explain. And there's like pictures online and stuff. So some people have like theories where they think like it's where secret societies like gather, or they think it's like staircases that lead to a different like dimension, like hell or like purgatory or something. No. So I read a bunch of his like experiences and they're all fucked, right? But he tells us one story. He's like, this is the one incident that happened during one of my rescue missions where I seriously considered stopping because it just affected me so much. He's like, it was a typical lost child call. A 4-year-old girl had wandered away from her family and she'd been missing for 2 hours. And her parents were completely distraught and they kept telling us like how most parents do. My kid would never wander away. She would never do this. She's really good about staying close to us. And he's like, we assure the parents that we'll do everything we can to find her. And we spread out in a standard search formation. He's like, I was partnered with one of my good buddies and we start sort of casually holding conversation while we hiked. We search for a good 2 hours, going beyond where we think she'd be. And we come out to a small valley when something makes us stop at the same time. We freeze and look at each other. And there's almost a sensation like a plane depressurizing. He's like, my ears pop. And I have this odd sensation of having dropped about 10 feet. He's like, I start to ask my buddy if he felt that. But before I can, we hear the loudest sound ever in my life. And it sounds like a freight train passing directly by us and is coming from every direction at the same time. We like are both freaked out. We look around all around us. There's no source of the sound. It's an open valley. He's like, we think it's like a landslide. He's like, but it would have like wiped us out by now because the sound was happening for so long. He's like, it keeps on going. And then it just stops. Silence. They just got like freaked out and they like get back on the radio and they're like, hey, have you guys found anything? And no one's like found the little girl yet, right? They keep like searching and it starts to get dark and they decide to continue the search alone during the day in a forest is like scary enough, but nighttime is like, we have to find her, right? So he's like, we decided, he's like, we can't find anything. It's been hours in the night. And around midnight, we decide to turn and head back to like the rendezvous point. He's like, we're about halfway back when my buddy stops and he shines the light to the right of us and into like this deadfall kind of area. And there's like a lot of dead trees there. He's like, I ask him if he hears a response, but he just tells me, be quiet for a second and listen. And we both hear what sounds like a kid that's crying. He's like, we both start calling the girl's name and listening for any kind of response, but it's just like faint crying. And we hear it in the direction of the deadfall. So he's like, I get this weird feeling in my gut and we start walking towards it. And he's like, we start calling the girl's name again. And at the same time, we both figure it out. The crying is on a loop. It's the same hitching sob repeated over and over and over. Like, it's not like a kid who's crying because there would be some like deviations in the sound. It's like a reap. It's on a loop. It's a repeat. And he's like, we just look at each other and just start running in the opposite direction. And he's like, till this day, no one's found that girl. All right, now we're going to get into the true crime segment. Okay, so this one is a true story. This is gonna fucking freak you the fuck out because it's actually like sad, but it's like it's fucked up.
What the hell, man? Why are you telling me this?
This is a true story that I read about. It happened in New Mexico in 2010. There's like this couple in New Mexico and they're like a well-off couple. They have like a lot of money. They have like this daughter. They have like two nannies that take care of this like daughter. It's like time for her bed or whatever. So they put her to sleep. Right. And the next morning, the nannies go into her room to wake her up and she's not in her bed. And they start looking around the house and they can't find her. And like hours go by. She's nowhere to be found. They call the cops, right, to report her missing. They like explain to the cops what happened. Like, we woke up. She wasn't in her room. Like, they're like searching everywhere or whatever. This makes national news. Like, it's blasted everywhere. Like, you know when a kid goes missing, it's like a big deal, right? It's blasted all over like national news. There's social media campaigns. Find Paulette, that's the name of the little girl. Her parents are doing interviews of like whoever took our daughter, like, please bring her back. And they're like sitting in her room, like doing like these interviews and stuff, and like pleading with the kidnapper and stuff, you know. But chances are they're like not gonna find her alive. 10 days go by and the cops go back into the house to like search the room or whatever, see if there's any clues again, and they find her in her bed.
What?
She's wedged between the headboard and the wall, suffocated to death.
No.
Until this day, nobody knows if she got herself in that position or if the parents killed her. And they were doing interviews in that room.
In the room?
In the room. Like, they were, that's where they were. They were sitting on her bed, filming with the camera crew, like, please bring back our daughter and stuff. And the entire time, she's behind them, between the headboard and the wall. Okay, so this next one is called, it's a true story. It happened in 1977. It's called The Girl in the Box. So this is about the kidnapping of Colleen Stan. She was 22 years old. It's 1977. She was hitchhiking from Oregon to North California for her friend's birthday party. She referred to herself as a experienced hitchhiker. And she, like, let a few cars pass that tried to give her a ride because she just, like, thought it was, like, sketchy. And this van pulls up, and it's a guy, his wife, and their brand new baby. And she's like, I'll hop in with these guys. They're a family, right? And they take her, and then they do a pit stop at this gas station. She goes to the washroom, right? As she's getting back from the washroom, she has, like, this gut feeling that she should, like, just not get in the van. But she's like, I'm just tripping, whatever. Like, it's fine, right? She gets back into the van. They start driving on the highway. The guy pulls over and holds her at knife point and drives her back to his house. Okay? And basically, this guy, his name's Cameron, and his wife's name is Janice. Cameron, him and his wife had made a deal that he could kidnap a girl and use her as a sex slave as long as he didn't do bondage stuff on his wife. So that was a deal. So they picked her up because of that. The first night they kidnapped her, they tortured her and they hung her by her hands above their bed while they had sex below her.
What?
Yeah. And for the next few years, 23 hours a day, they kept her in a box that was shaped like a coffin under their bed. And at the foot of the box was a picture of a woman named Marie Spanhack, who was the victim before. So every night he would, for 1 hour, he would just like torture this girl and then put her back in the box under the bed. And she was like, she heard like everything like that they were doing during the day. And the lady, Janice, like the guy's wife, even had their second child on the bed above the box that she was laying in. He kept her scared by saying that she's being watched by this organization called The Company, and if she tries to escape, they're going to kill her family. So then as she was like gaining their trust, she would like, she was allowed to go out for like jogs and walks and do work in the backyard. She was even allowed to take care of their kids, but she never tried to escape because she was always scared of like this company organization watching her, right? Then in like 1981, so a couple of years after she got kidnapped, the Cameron guy allowed her to see her family as well. So she would go back and see her family.
What?
But she would never try to escape. She never said anything about like this stuff happening to her or anything like that, because she was scared of the company. Then the guy started to worry that he like gave her too much freedom. And in 1981, he put her back in the box. 23 hours a day for 3 years. She escapes finally. She escapes because the wife ends up ratting out the husband to the cops. This guy gets sentenced to 104 years for sexual assault, kidnapping, and using a knife in the process. And he's ineligible for parole until 2023. He's still alive. Anyways, that's it for this week's Halloween episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it and the stories were scary enough. I don't know if they were. I was stressed out about this episode because I was like, I don't know if this is going to like live up to last year or whatever.
Why do I have to be the one that gets put through all of this?
Because Grix would be like, what the fuck is that? It's fucking so stupid. That's what his reaction would be.
Make sure you follow Gravine on Instagram at inkbygb.ca. Make sure you follow the official podcast Instagram account at Coach B Podcast. And we'll catch you guys next week on Coaches Don't Play. Bye.